And with a quick turn, skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
Here's Lindegaard making Forrest back pedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him via the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil.
Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Madden, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead.
Stansfield, good turn away from Trott. Goal!
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Glovers Cast, the only podcast dedicated to the team that is sitting perpetually at the top of National League South, 9 points clear, with a game in hand. No matter what the result, it will be the eternal truth of this season. Here to talk about the 3-1 defeat at the hands of Chippenham is Mr. David Coates.
Good evening, Ian. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm going to say about 87% fitness, I think, carrying a couple of knocks, mostly in my lungs.
You've rolled your ankle like Charlie Cooper, have you? In contention for the weekend, but...
I've tweaked my larynx a little bit, yeah.
Oof, that sounds rough.
Yeah, it is. I blame sitting on a steel tube, also known as an aircraft, with lots of coughing people last weekend. That's what I blame.
And also here, hopefully, with a perfectly fine larynx, is Mr. Tom Bailey. Welcome back.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. My larynx is doing very well.
There you go. We've done the pre-match fitness test on him, and his larynx is okay. Yeah.
Quite important to have a decent larynx if you're talking about football a lot. So, yeah, very good. We all watched on Tuesday night, didn't we? David, from the comfort of your lounge, I presume?
I was watching from my sofa. Yes, I was. And it all seemed quite okay for 45 minutes. And then somebody's a jinx. I tell you, somebody was there.
Yes, well, I was there. I was there. But my record at home has been quite good this season. So
I'm not pointing fingers. I'm the one who gets the finger pointed at me. And I was not there either, so.
Tom, you were there as well in an official capacity or just watching as a fan?
An official capacity. I was there for Glover's Cast, as I did our five conclusions. I think that's official enough.
That is.
Did you get a press pass with that? Glover's Cast?
I used my Three Valleys one.
Oof, right, okay. He's coming under false pretenses. I like it.
I'm fortunate.
Yeah, they'll be IDing you next time. Exactly. Who are you here with? Yeah. Who do you represent?
Everyone.
So we thought the team was a 4-4-2. Well, I think with Ollie Thomas and Alex Fisher both playing, we were safe to assume it was 4-4-2. Didn't quite work out that way, but Matt Worthington was in at right back after the Jay Folston experiment at the weekend and felt kind of confident with that lineup, but we soon saw Ollie Thomas out on the left wing at the start. What were your feelings, Tom, at the start with that sort of lineup and how you thought the evening was going to unfold?
I'm not sure if confident is the right word, but I felt it was going to be a case of job done, just get it sorted. When I saw the shape and how we were going in the end, I was actually quite happy with how Ollie did on the wing, to be honest. And I was also happy that Pearson wasn't playing as a striker because he's just not that type of player. Still a very talented player, but a striker is not where his talents lie. Fisher did a great job as well, I'll say. I think all in all, the fact that we had Cooper and Lowerton in the midfield kind of gave me some hope as well, because Lowerton's been absolutely brilliant all year and Cooper's done very well as well in the game time he has had. So I think shape wise I was pretty happy with it. I didn't really have any complaints. It's not wing backs, which is all I can really ask for, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think that I should check the Glastonbury lineup for the Jay Falston experiment. I think they're probably on the John Peel stage somewhere, aren't they? But
it's not called that anymore, Dave.
Oh, isn't it? Oh, okay.
No, right, it's called Woodsies now.
Oh, the Woodsies. Okay, they're on Woodsies. Saturday, 3 p.m. The one thing I was pleased about was seeing Matt Worthington at right back, because I would say that if we don't have Michael Smith, that would be my preferred option of the other options we have available to us.
Yeah, I agree. Although by the time we got to the second half with Charlie Cooper not in the midfield, we were crying out for Worthington in the middle. But let's go into, there are sort of three areas that I sort of think we should talk about and that I sort of noticed and sort of watching back on the highlights. Let's start with the defending, because it, for the first time this season, it felt like, or the first time in a long time this season, it felt like defensively we were quite soft in situations that normally we've been really strong in, and sort of Williams and Wannell have dominated. I think when you watch back on the highlights, even in the first half, they get quite a few chances, not particularly clear-cut ones, but ones from distance where normally someone's closing those down and, just getting into areas that you wouldn't normally expect. What was your view, Dave, on some of the defending that you saw?
Yeah, I mean, when we haven't had Michael Smith in previous occasions, there has been a bit of that. And, I don't think there's a lot that you could say negatively about Jake Wannell and Morgan Williams this season. But over the past couple of games, they seem to have, as you say, stopped doing the things that we've been doing well all the time. And Jake Wannell, although, you know, I have complete faith in the Somerset Cannavaro, his desire to get as many touches on the ball as he can, and I know he is capable of playing the ball out. There are a few hairy moments, I think, where I yelped at the screen a couple of times, where it was like, just get rid of it. But and I know that isn't our style, isn't to hoof it forward. But there did seem a bit of, I don't know whether it's nervousness, hesitancy, or what it is really, but there were a few where you just didn't feel comfortable when we were defending. And as you say, that has been a rarity this season, because I think comfortable in our defending is one thing that I felt for a good, well, probably 80-85% of this season. But it wasn't there particularly on Tuesday night.
No, I think there was a couple of scary back passes to Joe Day at points as well, where I think there was one in the first half where I think it goes out for a corner in the end. I think Worthy played it back to him. And there's sort of those situations that, you know, in the context of everything, when you've got a crowd that's already a little bit on edge, as those errors creep in, people start getting more on edge, and it kind of just becomes a vicious cycle.
The one person was your... who was probably the calmest of it all was Chris Wheel on BBC Radio Somerset.
who
as a goalkeeper, all he kept saying was, he wouldn't say anything, there wasn't any whimpers or anything like that. And then he'd go, we won't be happy with that, Joe Day. He said that, but he's done very well. As from goalkeeper to goalkeeper, he's done very well there. So, yeah, praise him, Chris Wheel.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about, I know we've not talked about our goal, we'll get on to that, but let's talk about the goals we conceded in that second half. Yeah. All three of them for me are so soft, and not like even goals we wouldn't concede, you know, 4 or 5 weeks ago like that. I think the first one, you know, cross into the box and no one takes ownership of it at all. And it's just sort of put into the corner. And I don't know, I felt like that would maybe kick us out the backside a little bit and wake us up. But again, for all of our possession and control of the ball, I think there's a slip from Wannell on the second one, isn't there? I think there's someone doesn't follow their runner back through, a good finish past Joe Day again, but there's a massive space. And then the third one as well seems to be loads of space and a great finish. He's put some leather behind that to get it in the top corner, but just really weak goals from us to concede.
Yeah, it was. Waddle was in such a weird position, at least for the first goal. It feels like it was more Williams' sort of fault on that one, if you were to attribute a fault to any of our players. Waddle just got double teamed, and Williams had dropped off his man. The ball fell, and they were quick to react to it. It kind of worked as a horrid storm for us of the reason we had to play so slowly and take so long with our sort of ball playing from the back. So we're trying to draw them out because, as Ben said in the group chat during the game, they were sat incredibly deep in order to just stop any threat that we could pose. So we had to play slow. We had to draw them out, which obviously meant having to take our time at the back in order to force them to come forwards. It's kind of worked against us in a horrible storm because they've also got super quick players, and in defense they're super physical. So the whole thing didn't, in hindsight, it was kind of set up to fail because they just had the perfect sort of antidote for any of our threats. But that, yeah, the corner, a double team on Wannell, and Williams didn't get back to his man. The second goal, it looked like there was confusion, perhaps some miscommunication between Williams and Whittle, headed away, and then Wannell just got out-muscled by his man as well, and a tidy finish from McClure, who's been in good form this season as well. And then the third one, I mean, it was, again, a brilliant finish from Fasamade, but again, it was poor from Williams again. I don't like putting this on Williams because he's a brilliant player, and he's been brilliant all season. He's one of my favourite Yeovil players, but all three of them, he was at fault in some shape or form, unfortunately, on Tuesday, and I'm sure he'll be looking to improve on Saturday. Not that I think he can get much lower than being at fault for all three goals in a midweek defeat.
Yeah, I think that Mark Cooper said it after the game. The second goal was the one that really stuck out for me because he referred to it in good Opta terminology of it was two contacts within the 6-yard box, and the third one was the was to put it in the net. And that's the thing, isn't it? You think you've got, you know, their players got two, their players have got two touches inside the box, and we're still not there to close them down. That's where we talk about things that we were doing just a few weeks ago that we're not doing now. It's almost that back to basics kind of stuff, isn't it? And you'd think, I would imagine, that there would be there wasn't a day off, was there? There wasn't a day off the day after because we saw the photos, they were straight back in to the, there was no trip to Cheltenham races or anything like that, if they'd been planning it. So they were, I would imagine that Chris Dodd was probably working with those defensive players, pointing out all the things that had gone wrong. So if they didn't know what they did wrong, by the time Mark Cooper let him out of the dressing room on Tuesday night, which was a bit later than usual by the sounds of it, then I imagine they certainly knew about it by Wednesday night. But yeah, it was not pretty at all.
No. And I think it felt even worse because of what happened the Saturday before as well.
Yeah.
Because it's that, you know, normally after a defeat, we bounce back and haven't been able to do that. So, yeah.
Put your positive spin on it, sorry. I do think we were better than Saturday. I think Saturday we were lethargic and just struggled to really do anything. And Welling just played it to perfection. Whereas Chippenham, while they played it to perfection, we did look like we had a threat. I mean, I actually, being a Anorak, I took down some of the stats. We had 11 shots throughout the game. Sorry, 10 shots throughout the game, and 6 of them were on target. So we were doing well when we made our chances. We just couldn't finish them. Whereas Chippenham, 6 shots, 4 on target, 3 of them went in. So they did well with what they had, whereas we just couldn't finish. And perhaps that's leaning to one of the points that we have of a lack of striker.
And in the first half, I think we did look in control, didn't we? I don't think I felt nervous whilst you were thinking, is the goal going to come? Which I know has sometimes been the case this season, where we've patiently, for the first 10 minutes, I don't think they touched the ball. I think we were pretty much just, once we got our eye in those first couple of minutes, we were basically just sort of like stroking it around, and they were obviously sitting with, well, in completely 11 men behind the ball. So in the first half, I didn't feel overly concerned. And when we got the goal, you thought to yourself, right, that's it. Now they're going to have to come at us. But yeah, it was the second half where things really seemed to fall apart.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that first half, I thought we played really well. Yeah. I mean, there were grumbles.
Yeah.
I didn't have headphones on this time. I was in under the H in the Screwfix stand, so I was sort of in with the in with some of the moaners. I thought we had a good half, controlled it. Obviously, brilliant goal from Fisher. Great cross in from Ollie Thomas, and yeah, it's unbelievable header. And he's got that. Like, if he could do that more times than he does, he probably wouldn't be playing for Yeovil Town. But it's I think the more you watch it back, the better the header looks, because it's quite far out and he's got to get some power on it to get it over the keeper and into the top corner. Yeah, great goal.
The biggest compliment I saw of that goal was it was referred to as Patmore-esque, which wow. But when you look at it, it was. I remember when Patmore was scoring quite a number of headers like that. Now there was a man who could hit the ball. So yeah, that is a compliment.
Yeah. But at the same time, for all those shots and all those stats, a lot of them were from pretty far out. I think there's the Jordan Young one in the second half where he comes inside and, you know, it's a good save for the keeper, but it's a fairly comfortable one, isn't it? Decent height and all of that jazz. And I think the way Mark Cooper referred to it was that, you know, there were moments where we could have played the pass quicker to put people in. And, you know, I don't want to dig out Jordan Young, but certainly my feeling was that he was taking far too many touches on the ball, holding on for it for too long, and that was slowing us down at points when we were in good areas. And I get that he's trying. I think he, you know, feels like he's trying to find that goal and score one from distance. But yeah, there were a couple of moments where I think there was Worthy in on the right. I'm sure there was one point we were breaking forward and he held on to it and held on to it and held on to it. And by the time he plays it, chipping him a back and able to sort of regroup, and it's just quicker. And other times it does happen, but just felt like Tuesday night, just wanted to hold on to the ball for too long.
I think I took a note down before writing later on that night of, when do we open a dialogue about Jordan Young? Because since the contract extension, I mean, I even asked Mark Cooper about it today. It's like, since the contract extension, he's not looked the same player at all. It's quite bizarre. But you've pretty much hit the nail on the head. A lot of touches that a lot of them weren't really necessary. A bit of hero ball going on, but fingers crossed. Maybe he's just looking for his strike partner again. Because when he was with Reece Murphy, he was great. And as soon as Reece Murphy got injured, it's suddenly gone off the boil for him. So not that you can attribute it to one point. I think that could be a contributing factor. Whereas Fisher doesn't, he kind of floats about a bit more, doesn't he? So maybe that's playing a part, but maybe it's also, as you say, he's just trying to get that goal and further his own tally.
And the style that we play in, it really does require on quick movement when we're going to make that break, doesn't it? And you look at the players that we've got there, we have the players who are absolutely capable of doing that. Ollie Thomas, Sam Pearson, Jordan Young. You know, there's all those players in those attacking positions. Jordan Stevens when he came on, Frank Nublé when he came on, they're all capable of making those quick passes, those quick runs. And I know in his press conference today on Thursday, Mark Cooper said the one thing that we've maybe got away from doing in these last few games is the running, and there perhaps was a bit of that. We were stroking the ball around, particularly in that first half, where we were being controlled and comfortable. But you can do that for so long, and what you need to be able to get through these teams is that quick pass and move. We've got the players there capable of doing it. They've all got the ability to do it, and they just need the confidence to do it. So the one thing that gave me hope looking at those training pictures on Wednesday was Marcus Stewart there with the attacking players. And hoping that if there's a man who can teach someone what they need to do to score a goal, he is the man, isn't he? So hopefully he can have got something through to those players that can help them at Slough on Saturday.
We even saw them, the goal. Matt Worthington made that run and Young saw it. Sure enough, goal. Well, it led to a cross in that then led to the goal. But again, when we're showing dynamism and when we're showing that we can make these runs and use that ability, as Dave just said, goals come. Why have we stopped doing that? I think, again, it will be interesting to see on Saturday if that comes back.
Yeah, and I think the point you made about Chippenham like sitting back and us wanting to draw them out, and they just didn't fall for it. They'd done their research and they was sort of just allowed us to creep forward with the ball, and then instead of us playing across the back four on the edge of our own 18-yard box, we were doing it on their halfway line, and there wasn't that space. There was a couple of times, wasn't there, when we tried to play sort of straight through the middle into the feet of I think it was Pearson. We were just trying to get it forward directly on the floor, but they quickly cottoned onto that and were snuffing those passes out. It would be interesting to know what Cooper meant around sort of the running, because it's one of those where you don't necessarily, I didn't necessarily notice less people running, but you certainly see those attacking players when we've got the ball with our defence, we're a bit more static. And it's like waiting for them to find the pass. But part of me doesn't know if that's just down to system. Like, it feels like sometimes we're so sort of well coached and well drilled, and, you know, this is how we play, that that when you need that spark or you need that moment of magic, no one's, either people aren't confident enough to do it, or we don't have that. And again, this is not a we need a Gavin Williams type conversation, but if you had a Gavin Williams type player in this team who could, you know, suddenly pick the ball up, dribble past four players and open it up, you know, that would make all the difference. But would a Gavin Williams type player fit in this team or be allowed to be that type of player?
Yeah, I mean, not that I'm suggesting that any of these players are Gavin Williams, please don't think that, but we do have players who are capable of doing that. We've seen Jordan Young do that. We've seen Sam Pearson capable of doing that. Jordan Stevens is capable of doing that. Very different players to Gavin Williams, don't get me wrong, but there are players there who are capable of either, whether it's attacking with pace, whether it's attacking with, you know, dribbling ability. There are players there you would think are capable of creating that kind of moment. And I can't believe that anyone's going to criticise them from the touchline if they do have that kind of spark.
Mm. Yeah.
You broke the system, goddamn you! You're never playing for me again. But I scored a hat-trick. Oh, I don't care what you've done. Not going to happen, is it?
No, it's not. I suppose that takes us less... talk about the reaction. I think sort of throughout the game you could feel it bubbling, especially after Welling as well. And I know certainly in the Screwfix stand after the Welling game, there were a few boos in front of the press box. there was definitely more of a feeling of what around me, there was that it got a bit more get it forward pretty quickly in the first half.
Horribly, and I don't like saying this, it felt a bit like last year of that kind of resignation to, well, we're just going to kick it side to side for 70 minutes and then probably concede too many goals and not do anything about it. And I think that's probably why people are concerned that we've not signed a striker, because that was our issue last year. We could play it about and we would play on the edge of their own box at times, but we just couldn't score a goal for love nor money. And we had that finish from Fisher. But other than that, we didn't look too dangerous because we just didn't have that focal point up front. Yeah, it felt, even from where I was sat, I mean, I was in the Screwfix stand as well, but further across, we had the get it forward from probably 25 minutes, which, yes, it's 0-0, but there's still a good 60 minutes of the game to go. If it's at 60 minutes and we still got 0-0, maybe it's a bit more warranted. But from that early on, it feels like you're almost setting the team up to fail, because it's either they don't score and they've met your expectation of failure, or you're applying pressure that's just, again, it's unreasonable expectations. Yes, we're top of the league. Yes, we've got one of the better defences and a better attack, but these people are not goal machines. Again, we've lost two of our goal machines, and Frank Nublai is not known for being a goal scorer. He's known for being a bit of everything. So I'm not saying cut them some slack, but I'm saying be reasonable with what we can do in the time that we have. Again, 60 minutes, go for it. Like, at that point, it's starting to get a bit like, okay, we need to do something now. But 25 minutes, 30 minutes, like, chill out.
It was on the stream, you could hear, particularly towards the end of the game, get it forward. And then we got it forward. Bloody rubbish, Yeovil. It was like, you know,
yeah.
What do you want? They did what you asked them for. And then, but yeah, they're, you know, asking for reasonableness from people. And I do have a bit of sympathy for the I paid my money, I can say what I like. And there is definitely a, this is an entertainment business and all the rest of it. But we have been spoiled this season with winning games, particularly at home. And therefore people will automatically think that two games lost is the end of the world, and it's a complete crisis. But let's take a step back and think about what it is we're actually trying to achieve this season. What we're trying to achieve this season is to get out of this league. Nothing else matters as far as I'm concerned. Just get out of this league. And we are very fortunate that we've had such a good first half of this. Well, first, let's be honest, it's only the past few games where we've really struggled. There was that little blip when I went to a few games back in the at the end of last year where things stuttered a bit. But
Chippenham and Welling, I think, wasn't it?
Chippenham and Welling, yeah. 1 point out of a possible six, yeah. And I think there was the Wrexham FA Cup defeat was around then as well. So, but yeah, it has been so good for so long. I think we need to have a bit of perspective. And listen, I've been a fan for long enough to know that perspective isn't something that completely abandons you when you're in the ground. And I don't deny I've had out-of-body experiences myself where I've suddenly thought the whole world is going to come to an end because things aren't going quite right. So I don't blame people for what they're thinking. And I don't blame people for saying, oh, this is boring football, because everything's not moving quickly. It's not Gary Johnson class of 2003. But again, let's think about what we're trying to do here. We're trying to get out of this division. And as we stand here tonight, we're 9 points clear at the top of the league with a game in hand over second place. Let's keep some perspective. Keep calm. Teams around us aren't doing so well either. So let's just take a deep breath. and go forward. And I do think, although they are not easy games by any stretch of the imagination, but being away from Hewish Park for a few games or a couple of games now may well be a very good thing for us, because I can, one thing, as somebody who goes to an awful lot of away game, I can guarantee you that the I'm very hopeful that the away contingent, and having spoken to a Slough fan, I understand it's not going to be an away end, it's going to be an away side of the pitch, will be noisy. And they should be noisy, and they should be just like they were at Farnborough. At Farnborough, everybody, and I know we won that game, and we went 1-0 up quite early on, but that's what we need, is that kind of fervent atmosphere that just keeps on going. That's what the players need. When they're down, when they're feeling like they're, you know, a little bit fragile after a couple of games, what they need is that almost blind, passionate support, which we know that we're capable of giving. And I've every confidence in those people who are going to be there on Saturday to do that. And Tom, yes, I am looking at you. I'm expecting you to be taking a drum, waving your shirt above your head and everything. That's what I want to see.
I don't think the media people around me would be too impressed if I suddenly got up and took my shirt off in front of them.
Listen, Tom, you are there to do one job and one job only, and that is to support your team.
I will do my damnedest from where I will be positioned, wherever I'm positioned, of course. I think, again, Dave has pretty much covered everything. I think Mark Cooper made a good point as well in the presser earlier on. In, again, perspective, pre-season, Torquay were bookies' favourites. We were maybe a playoff shout and an outside shot at the title. Come to now, we're 9 points clear, game in hand. Torquay are 3 points off the bottom. Well, 3 points outside the relegation zone, thanks to their 10 points and their financial situation. It is not further, it couldn't be further from the preseason predictions, unless they were to say we were going to go down, which obviously wasn't going to happen. So again, perspective is needed. From last year, and considering the last 10 years that Yeovil have gone through, let's just enjoy the fact that we are top of the league and we have deserved to be there, to be honest. Some of the football we've played and some of the ways that we have dealt with opposition, even like the FA Cup run, that was pretty awesome. We went through five or six games, got to go all the way to Wrexham and have our quote-unquote big day out. We made it to the telly. Like, second round of the FA Cup as a National League South side is nothing to be sniffed at. I'm sure Maidstone would have other words about that, but we've had a good season. We really have. And even if we have to limp over the line, it doesn't matter, because what we want at the end of the day is that promotion. We want that silverware, that trophy, and then look to get into next season and see how we go back where perhaps we should be considered to be, well, where we belong.
And it is absolutely true what Mark Cooper says about supporters can be just as important. And I'm not going for any bullshit cliches like the 12th man, you can be the 12th man, but supporters can have a very negative effect on players, and supporters can have a very positive effect. And I don't subscribe to the fact of you support the team, you should support them, whatever, because everybody, you know, there will always be occasions where you're completely within your rights to criticise the people who are being paid money to be there. And I think, let's be honest, over the last 10 years, we've done a lot of criticising of teams and players who just did not give a toss about playing for this club. And I don't think there's one player that I've seen play for us this season who I could say does not give a toss about playing for our club. I think everyone who's been out there this season absolutely wants to achieve what we all want to achieve, which, as I say, is promotion out of this league. And I think they've done enough to earn our respect and earn our support. And that's what we need to give them now.
Right. And that's, you know, that's what Mark Cooper said when you asked him about, you know, looking at signing anyone. He said he's only going to sign players if there's a player who wants to come to Yeovil and wants to play for Yeovil. That's what he'll try and do. But again, echoes of last season, can you get, you know, those types of players who are going to make a difference at this stage of the season? who are in form, you know, a club's going to let them go. Not really. So, I think in the cold light of day, the fact that nothing had changed when the final whistle went in terms of the table, in terms of, gap between chasing pack, it's fine. Michael Smith said so. Michael Smith actually said it's another game ticked off, didn't he? He said, you know, we're not happy to have lost, but because everything's gone that way, it's another game down and we're one game closer. So, yes. It'll be fine.
That's it.
Stay calm. Keep behind them, carry on.
Get behind the boys. Right, Slough. Slough away.
Yeah. El Orusico, as I'm going to call it now. Yeah.
Why are you going to call it that?
Lloyd Owusu. Play for them, play for us.
Oh, Owusuko.
Okay. Yeah. Is that not obvious from the way that I said it?
No, I thought there was an R in there.
I thought it was Russico.
Yeah.
No, El Orusico. Yeah, that's what I'm gonna dub it.
Okay.
But yes, okay. I had a chat with the chairman of the Slough Supporters Club, or Slough as they refer to it. Just before this, you'd be able to hear that on Saturday morning. It is a 4G pitch, he told me, so the network should be better there. But he said it should be quite a good one, he said. He said they went to Braintree, if we play next weekend, I believe, and that was the Cabbage Patch Kids. So, but he said this one actually lends itself to good on-the-deck football. That's what he told me. And he said it is quite consistent as a surface. So,
which of course means that'll be a 0-0.
Yeah. Well, when you look at the number of goals, I think they have scored the third highest number of goals. I think Worthing have got the most. We're second. I think they're one behind us in goals scored. But they've conceded something like 15 more than we have. So, but he did say they'd been in a very good run of form. Over sort of like the last six games or so. But then if you remember, they had that game abandoned. They had Bath City at their place, 4-0 up at half time. Bath got it back to 4-2, and then there was an illness of a supporter in the crowd, and then Bath wouldn't play on from then on in. And he did say that maybe hit them a bit. I think there was a bit of bad feeling and a bit of upset about all of that. They drew at Braintree last weekend, which say is no, they're going well at the moment, aren't they, Braintree? And then they lost at Havant on Wednesday night. So they've played 24 hours after we did. So, yeah, it feels like even though they are in decent form, there is something to go at there, and hopefully not a bad surface as well. So what was it Mark Cooper said to you, Tom, when you were there in the press conference talking about Slough? Let me guess. It'll be a free hit for them. Every team raises their game against us. And I don't know what to expect, because no team ever plays against us like they do in any other game. Is that right?
It sounds like you've listened to the recording I sent.
I haven't got to that stage of it yet.
I am telling you, that is pretty much exactly what he said. He gave credit to their player manager, Scott Davis, as well, former Yeovil Town player, of course. Yeah. Said that he was a great player, good manager as well. They've got some good players in their team, just full stop. I think they did pretty well when they came to Huish Park as well. They gave us a really good game and that was probably one of our better performances, but we had a good game against them. So fingers crossed we get more of the same. Other than that, Mark Cooper has pretty much hit the nail on the head.
Before Wednesday, their last loss was against us on the 30th of Jan. So they've, and they do score goals.
As I remember, it's Scott Davis, their manager, who say, I think he played four games for us on a loan spell. He was probably one of their better players, wasn't he? As I remember?
Yeah.
Led by example from the back.
Yeah. There you go. And he's 30, 36. So, you know, hope for me yet, isn't it?
There is Dave. You will marshal the defence.
Absolutely.
In the same way that Scott Davies does. Soon enough, your time will come.
I don't think we're that desperate yet. But...
Do you want to share the good news with the listeners about the weekend, Dave?
I'm not going to be there, folks. But I do think that after these last couple of games, my presence can be lifted as the jinx. Although I am told that Katie Clark, regular attendee both home and away, tells me that the reason for our stumbling form is the loss of her pink knitted hat. She had a pink Yeovil Town hat, which she got, and she lost it for a number of weeks. Now it has been restored to her head, I would imagine. She found it again, and she promises to wear it on Saturday. So I think we can safely say that, any concerns are allayed by that fact. I won't be there. Kate will have a pink hat on. The away end will be bouncing.
Yeah. She drank her coffee as well. Drank coffee out of her mug as well on Tuesday. So that rules that out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just got to keep ticking these off until we find what the root cause is.
Cleaver going? No, it's not Cleaver, no. It's going to be outside my house if I carry on with this, I tell you.
It was He Who Must Not Be Named last year, and now it's Cleaver. Let's just touch on the Torquay situation. Obviously, they've been hit with a 10-point deduction, find themselves 3 points clear of the relegation zone, albeit with loads of games in hand for Taunton around them. Taunton, who are meant to be playing as we record, but no prizes for guessing what's happened there.
More chance of me playing than there is of Taunton playing.
You could be their defensive leader.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's some good mud flats near where I live. I'm quite practiced at wading through mud.
You talk about not being able to predict what could have happened at the start of the season. I'm sure no one had this down for Torquay, and then finding themselves now in an absolute relegation scrap. And if they want to send any strikers our way, please do.
We do have to give our solidarity against football clubs with crap owners shout out again, because to be a supporter of a club that lost 3-1 at home to Taunton Town, was it 3-1?
3-0.
Got 3-0 and then got deducted 10 points. That is a pretty rubbish few days to be a Torquay fan. So, we will have a moment of silence for him. There we go. We had a
moment of silence. There we go. We've had it. There is a couple of questions on Twitter. We'll rattle through them. Alice Glover, Stoney. Would you offer up Hewish Park to Taunton to make sure they finish the season? He's repeated himself here. To make sure they can finish the season. To make sure they can finish the season.
And they finish the bloody season or not?
To make sure they don't have their results expunged, costing us points. And bring Ben in on this one, he put in our group chat earlier, didn't he, Dave? What was it he said? It would be the most Yeovil thing ever.
If we lost a league because we got 6 points taken of us for Taunton having the record expunged, personally, I'd like the National League to get a bloody grip of it and just tell them, if you can't play games at home, which you've widely proven that you're incapable of doing, go somewhere else like Torquay are, or or play at whoever it is your playing's ground. But you've got to do something, and just letting them bimble through like they are. I'm not in the southwest of England, but I can look at the Met Office website and tell you what's going to happen every week. So I think the National League, they need to take a long, hard look at themselves. I think all their mirrors are painted black anyway, aren't they? So they can't look at themselves. They're a bunch of idiots, and they've proven it once again, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Didn't Martin Hellier answer a question like this on one of your podcasts the other day, Tom, about
a bunch
this.
Of idiots as well.
I'm not going to say the name. Shameless plug. No, no.
Sorry, football bloody hell.
I
just say it's football bloody hell.
Oh, it's beautiful. We'll clip that up. We'll clip that up. We'll use that in the intro. Beautiful. He did. Basically, the answer is no. We will not be renting our facility out to any team, regardless of if it costs us 6 points or not. It's our ground. We're going to keep it that way. Basically, Taunton can go somewhere else. If it meant we lost 6 points that would cost us the title, I would say please back down from that and let them use it. But I don't see us getting to that point, so I don't think we need to worry. So even if they were to be expunged, I think we've still got enough to win the title anyway. So I say let them crack on and watch the show with a big old box of popcorn. I'm just looking at their fixtures as well. It's hilarious, almost. They've got a Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday, Monday, Friday, and that's the Easter weekend. So that's Friday, then Monday, Wednesday, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday. And that's not including the fact they've still got to play Western Supermare again, because that was postponed tonight. So
doing quite well in the last
good
few,
luck,
haven't they?
Basically, yeah, just good luck, and we'll see how that turns out.
I mean, they could still make the playoffs, I think.
If looking at the table, if they were to win all of their games in hand on, so the maximum games played so far is 39, which is Chelmsford and Aveley and Tunbridge. If they were to win, so that's six games in hand, 18 points, 58, that puts them 10th. Three points outside the playoffs. All to play for is all I'll say. Truro are the same. They'll end up on about 59, also 10th. All to play for in the National League South.
Very much. Dan Johnson asks, yeah, if fit Dawes or Worthington at right back, I feel like we lose too much in centre mid without Worthington. He's answered the question there, hasn't he?
I disagree. I think, yes, we lose a lot in centre mid with Worthington, but I do think that Worthington has done a better job at right back than Will Dawes, which is the sole reason that I would put Worthington there over Will Dawes. I think he's a much better winger. And I think Worthington's absence in midfield can be covered, whereas it would not be covered with Will Dawes being at right back, because we're essentially playing with a three-man defence. So I think Worthington at right back and cope with the lack of midfield steeliness. We've got Hours who can play. Cooper seems to be fit enough to at least feature some point at the weekend. So we've got three centre midfielders to choose from. So I'm going to say Worthington for right back.
Dave?
I think I said earlier that I thought I was pleased that Matt Worthington was right back, and I don't disagree with what Tom said about Josh Hours either.
We chuck Morgan Williams into the discussion, play Jay Fulston at centre back.
I don't think we should be putting Jake Wannell on the right of centre back or Jay Fulston on the right of centre back either.
Yeah, I suppose.
I'm not going to play devil's advocate. I'm going to disagree. I think Worthington needs to be in the middle. If Dawes is fit, I mean, he did okay at left back against Farnborough there. He did okay at right back when we played Aveley. I think the legs that Worthington gives you, we haven't got any other players like him in the midfield. Like, Cooper
leg,
does the dirty work.
Leg singular?
No, legs.
Oh, legs. Okay.
Just his engine. You know, Sonny's the ball player. And I think as soon as Cooper went off on Tuesday night, I think it was clear that, you know, that midfield battle, I mean, I don't think ours did a great deal on the night. And I know it's, you know, it's a tough one for him to come into, and he's not played a lot of football, and maybe he'll get, you know, up to speed if given the chance. But yeah, I think I'd have been, I don't know, I'd even try maybe, if you know how Michael Smith plays, like right up high, I'd even risk like Jordan Stevens and bank on, you know, him having a lot more attacking phases of play than defensive. And you've got that outlet on the right, allowing Jordan Young to tuck in. Yeah, I think it's such, you know, we control the ball so much that if you've got that ball and you've got that pace to capitalize on it, then, you know, I'd take the risk of even trying Jordan Stevens out there. But, you know, I'm a bit of a renegade sometimes.
I counsel your point with Mark Cooper as our manager. And I'll just let that sit.
One of us will be right. That much I guarantee.
Yeah. Mr. Pro Pilot, should the club release a new song? No.
We've got one. It's Dave Coates' rendition of the Somerset Cannavaro.
There you go. Not appreciated in its time, Thomas. Not appreciated in its time.
It's a real
Dave could have a whole album. When's the album coming out?
I'm all out of love. I'm so... No, that's this weekend, yeah.
Who's that?
That's me. I can't remember who sang that, was it? I'm all out of love. I'm so lost.
I don't know, but was it going to be a chant?
Oh, no, no. I'm just singing, you know, 1990s power ballads now, so...
Okay, yeah. I thought it was going to go into a song.
No.
Of a player.
Wishful thinking, yeah.
Yeah, I am, yeah.
Yeah, Air Supply. Obviously sung it.
Mr. Pro Pilot also asked, any opinions on the England squad for the friendly fixtures? No.
I could honestly tell you who is in the England squad for the friendly fixtures, to be honest with you.
Me being the saddo that I am, I did have a look at this. While I wish nothing more in the world than for Jordan Henderson to not be in that squad, unfortunately, there aren't really anyone else. There isn't anyone else that could kind of take his place. The two suggestions we had were Harvey Elliott, who is too young and a completely different style of player, and Curtis Jones, who's injured. So, unfortunately, he's there. Other than that, I'm indifferent to it. Everyone else that should be there is injured. So, oh well.
What have you got against Jordan Henderson?
He's rubbish.
No. Was he rubbish when he played for Liverpool?
Last season, yes.
Okay.
But before that, he was a good 6 out of 10 player. Never ever our best player, but he was the real sort of passion merchant. He was, Matt Worthington is basically Jordan Henderson, but Matt Worthington can play football. So we kind of got the better end of that deal.
I have no strong feelings about Jordan Henderson one way or the other.
That and he also sold his soul. Anyway.
Yeah, we've all been there.
We've all sold ourselves. And then question for you, Tom. Although it says Mott, I'm guessing because of the Twitter name, because that's Tom Bailey backwards, Dave.
Of course, yeah.
What's the hardest part of commentating? Presumably listening to Dave Pryor.
No. Listening to Dave Pryor is a delight. Dave, evening. I think the hardest part of commentating is probably depending on the game itself. If it's a Welling on Saturday was a difficult game to commentate on because it's like, and we're going sideways again, and we're going to the other side, and we're going back again. You end up repeating yourself. It's difficult to make a game like that sound interesting. So that's probably one of the hardest parts, that and in our case praying that the internet doesn't drop out as well. So other than that, it's been an absolute wonder to do this season. It's been brilliant, and long may it continue.
There we go. Anything else to add, Dave?
Nothing.
I've not never to that question in particular, but
I've never commentated on anything. I have no desire to commentate on anything. Nobody wants to hear my nonsense during a game of football. If you have the misfortune to stand next to me, then that you've suffered enough.
I think people do, Dave.
You think?
It's definitely, the listens have definitely spiked since you've been back.
Since I've been back.
Give the numbers, the listeners, don't what lie. They want.
The stats don't lie.
Exactly. The XG is a lot higher with you in the team, Dave.
XL, expected listeners.
Yeah. Cool. Cheers, chaps.
Yeah. If you're going to Slough, get behind them, yo.
And with a quick turn, the skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
There's Lindegaard making Forrest back pedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him via the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil.
Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Maddon, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead.
Stansfield, good turn away from Trott. Goal!